I was really hoping you would, and that's how we'd start the episode. But you didn't. Okay, that's recording.
I can't burp on cue.
No. Who did I just... I saw a video of a guy that could, like, puke on cue.
Ew!
And that was... I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
Now's not the time. Now's not the
time. Don't start the episode like that. Hello? I'm recording.
Why do you never tell me when we're recording?
We're recording.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to...
Suck Off.
I need to figure out a new... I want to do it in a different character's voice every time.
I've been going vaguely for a shiv every time.
Yeah. Wait, do it again.
Suck Off.
There we go. That's good. Can I do my Kendall?
Please.
It's like, suck off. I don't know.
Can I do my Greg?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't ever get it out. Today we're talking about Prague.
Such a cunty name for this episode because they never go to Prague.
They never go to Prague. I was thinking of like other ideas for episode names for this one. They could have gone with like Cage or like, because I'm like...
No, well,
we'll get into it.
I think Prague is the best. Perfect
See,
name.
Now this is why I don't write for the show. This is why I'm not. I'm just simply a fan. This is, and I'm not exaggerating here, top three episodes of
really?
The show for me. I know maybe that's not the case for everybody, but I have talked to other people who are like, this is one of the best episodes.
Walk me through it.
Well, it's the bachelor party episode. It's Tom's bachelor party. Prague is supposed to be the name of... They were actually going to go to Prague.
They were going to go to Prague. Roman was tasked with like planning the bachelor party, and it was floated that Prague would be a thing.
Yes.
I think Tom wanted to go to Prague, or Roman maybe suggested it when he was first tasked, but...
But they don't go to Prague, actually, because of Stewie. Stewie suggests this other club.
Oh, I love this. This is a Stewie episode, first and foremost.
It's an everybody episode, really.
I love me some Stewie.
Yes. It immediately starts off, Greg is back. He wasn't in the last episode. That's completely irrelevant, but I thought I should say
In fact, it. Greg is not in the first scene.
No. Yes, he is. He's the very first shot of the episode as he's going up the elevator.
Oh, that's right.
It's just irrelevant. Why did I even say it? There's the scene. It's Logan and Roman. It's a little vague of what exactly, but this is why you're here.
They're purchasing a block of local TV stations to be under the ATN network. And the guy, I can't remember who the fuck they're selling it to, Bob or whatever.
Bald is what I wrote down.
Bald. Bald as Bob.
Bald Bob.
Roman pitches 5.3. Bob is like, 5.3 is a fair price. I think we should do that. Logan is sort of quiet the whole meeting. And this guy, I assume trying to flatter Roman, knowing that that's something he responds to, is like, the kid's smart. 5.3 is a fair price.
Yes.
We're leaving. Yeah, see you later. Jerry's like, give us the room. And Logan is like, why is he selling this to me at a fair price?
Yeah.
And Roman is like, that's how business works, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's not very...
He doesn't really know.
He doesn't really know. And I guess Jerry and Logan are both like, no, this shouldn't work. We have to fuck him.
Yeah.
And so if he's willing to sell us at a fair price, let's go fuck him over. Go tell him 4.9. Mm-hmm. And so Roman's like, why would I do that? Like, isn't business buying and selling things at fair prices?
Right. He's like, as much as I like to fuck people over and make them hurt, something like that. And yeah, Logan's like telling him to go tell him 4.9. To which very quickly he just gives up and is like, Jerry, you go do it. Mm-hmm. And Roman kind of...
He said, go play on your phone, you bendy fuck.
Yeah.
Or go, send some text messages from your phone.
Which immediately sets up the rest of the episode, because now Roman kind of feels like there's a responsibility, like he needs to prove himself to his father by... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Selling to Sandy? Or getting Sandy to sell?
Sandy also has a block of local TV stations, which would basically give ATN control over, like, basically every local station.
Yes.
You know, like, every station is now Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, it would be huge. It was never really on the table, to the best of my knowledge of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be like, this is just, like, out of left field, ballpark win, if we could just, like, get something from Stewie.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, Sandy.
Sandy. Well, they're Sandy, Stewie, they even say in this episode, they're a single entity.
Yeah, like a head of a horse in the dick of a swan.
Yep. But that's why they end up...
dick. Sorry. do we not know about bird dicks? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I know, but... I thought we'd leave that off. I'm aware. But I'm trying to clean up the show a bit.
Oh, okay.
So I can sell this to my family. That's why they end up at the club, though, basically, yeah. is because Roman wants to get in on...
Yeah, Stewie is playing the long game here, because yes. in the episode, at the beginning, this is the chronological order, he says to Roman, yes. we need to go to this club to change Tom Wamsgans' entire bachelor party to go to this club so you can pitch this to Stewie. You'll seem yep. like a great son. Your dad's going to love you. Yes. Meanwhile, he's like, please bring Kendall.
Yes.
And the reason why is because Stewie's playing his own game where he just wanted to talk to Kendall and knew he could get Kendall in the same room if they all went to this club.
Yes.
Whereas before, like, they all would have gone to Tom's bachelor party and Stewie wasn't invited. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they all showed up to the club, Stewie can talk to Kendall, in which he pitches a buyout. Like, I yes. want to buy you out of your shares of the company, and then events will transpire.
That I was going to say, you jumped all the way to the end of the
Sorry,
episode.
Sorry, I'm just much. Saying Stewie's game here. And watching that unfold was yes, fucking awesome.
It's amazing.
I can't help but focus on the business, obviously.
Absolutely. It's so funny that this whole party, Stewie is kind of controlling everything. Like, yeah. he's the guy at the center of it all.
Yeah.
Stewie's
my favorite character, I think. Because he, again,
see,
just
know,
loves
I agree
money.
With that.
Whatever, I don't care.
He's straight to the point, but he's not. He's got no, like, vulnerabilities, which is...
Even hotter.
Okay, hot, that's a different question. We're jumping ahead.
Anyway.
Kendall is trying to go meet with these, like, art people. He's trying to get into the art scene. Or...
I can't watch this without cringing.
No. I will say, I want to circle it back to my Kendall Carr motif
Let's
that's going on throughout this season. There's a very deliberate and, intense shot of he's in the back of the car and he's, like, putting on the shoes and he's, like, trying to put on cool shoes and he puts the shoe up on, like, the driver's seat on the back mm-hmm. of the seat and is, like, tying it and is telling him to turn up the bass. And I'm just like, that's, I would say, direct foreshadowing to...
Ooh, to events that will transpire later?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I feel like he's... See, this felt really genius when I came up with it. But it's like, you know, in the final episode, which I won't spoil, just things happen in the car.
Yeah, of course. So the motif you're talking about, this specific yes. shot, are you saying is like one of the most prominent shots? Like, this
I would
is one
say
of the most
so, yeah.
ones?
They really focus on the shoe hitting the back of the seat. Mm. And I think it's a, I don't know.
Great choice.
Disrespectful to the driver, one. And then...
And Frank is there. My first question was, why is Frank on Kendall duty?
Frank, I wrote this down, is like, I forget what that actor's name is, but he is like one of the most underrated actors in the show. Just the way he's like kind of laughing.
Underrated and you forget his name.
You forget his
name. And did not Google it.
I know. I was like, I need to Google that and I never did. Just know him as Frank Vernon. But I just love his like uncomfortable laughter throughout that meeting. It's so perfect.
Oh my God.
And Kendall's like, I'll take the shoe off. I'll throw it out the window. And he's like, don't.
Peter Friedman.
Jesus, I don't think I've ever knew what his name was. That is a new name in my mind.
Bank that in there. It's time to get him to be regular rated, not yeah. underrated.
So, anyway, that's kind of where Kendall's coming at before
yeah,
this party.
And also, Kendall is trying to just take all of his money and be like an investor in different companies. That's yes. like basically what he's doing. So he'll describe what he's saying in these fancy sentences, like, I'm pivoting away from
yeah.
whatever and getting into eco. Away from crypto into eco.
Yeah.
Like, just these bullshit words that mean fucking nothing. Yeah. It's just this guy has a lot of money and he's unemployed and he's bored. And this is what he does.
And it's
with
not
his time.
Going well. He's not.
And the artiste that he's pitching it to, Andrea, mm-hmm. I was like, how the fuck do I know this actor? Which mm-hmm. I do. That actor was in Jagged Little Pill, the Alanis Morissette musical.
Oh.
And she played the non-binary character who got to sing the best song, You Ought to Know. The whole musical is pretty garbage except for that one song. Anyways, she did a great job.
Amazing.
I think that musical got canceled, but...
what a connection.
What a connection. I don't know.
You wouldn't expect to see her in this show. You know?
I felt like a big genius thinking of that.
Greg... is meanwhile set up on Kendall duty by Logan, who this kind of, I will say, the last time we recorded, I was like, I feel like Logan does care about Kendall. And I feel like that was proved here. Like, maybe it's just business at the end of the day, but it came off so sincere to me when Logan was like, okay, he says a line that he doesn't want him, make sure Kendall doesn't come back in a box. I don't want him to end up dead at the bottom of some French bleeps pool. I'm going to let that line just sit there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to expand on it for any new listeners, but
if you know, you freaking
know. It's a crazy callback,
yeah.
All the way back in season one. Anyway, wow. I hope I didn't say too much, but I'm like, that's crazy that he said. Anyway, I think it comes off sincere. Like, Logan doesn't want Kendall to OD.
I think, whenever he and Greg interact, there are a lot of, like, very sincere family moments between them for some fucking reason.
Between Kendall and Greg or Logan and Greg?
Logan and Greg. Yeah, I love whenever they interact.
I feel like, I don't know. It also is just so, what? You're making a face.
I remembered the other thing I wanted to say because I lost my train of thought. No, you continue. I'll say
it. Well, I was just going to say it. Always, the first time I watched this episode, it read sort of caring, like Greg is looking out for Kendall this episode. Mm-hmm. But since then, I've like looked at this as a very heartless show, which it is, because Greg is really just looking out for him to move up with Logan.
Yeah, like, because literally preceding those lines is Greg saying, I don't want to work for Parks anymore.
Right.
Because the staffing is abusive. And then Logan has the best line, I think, of the episode. And he's like, didn't know Tom had it in him.
Yeah,
and he like
smiles. Yeah. Immediate turning point for Logan.
So good.
View of Tom, yeah.
But yeah, so because he wants to get out of Parks, he's like, well, I'll do anything that Logan tells me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know that you're very much a Greg hater and like a Greg has been evil the whole time.
No.
Listen, you've been pushing pretty hard that Greg's been a liar the whole time.
He's
been like whatever the whole time. I think this is a very humanizing Greg episode because the rest of it is him. He takes four lines of cocaine for Kendall like a fucking soldier falling on a sword. Like,
I do feel really bad for him in that moment. Also, it's like such a power play on Kendall's part.
Oh my God.
To be like, oh, so that's why you're here. Let me just eliminate that altogether by having him snort this coke for me, or else I'm gonna.
Kendall's cognitive dissonance, I wanted to pick apart this episode.
Oh,
because he pitches himself to these art people again and again throughout the episode that I'm a Roy, but I'm the good one. Mm-hmm. I have all this money, but I'm gonna invest it in good.
Yeah.
And then constantly in the episode, you see him do completely downright evil shit. Like, like that power thing with Greg, I don't think he did that for any other reason other than like wanted Greg off his back and he was kind of bored.
Yeah.
There's no other reason to make a man do four lines of cocaine who does not do cocaine.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the very end of the episode, he like calls Frank and is like, make sure everyone knows that those art girls are like sluts. Yep, they're just out for seed capital, whatever. Kendall's kind of a dick this episode. No,
it ends in a very negative note for him. I'm like, you're right. It's so funny that he starts off going to that art thing and trying to pitch himself as like, hey, I'm the cool guy. I'm grounded. I'm in this for good. And then kind of just stabs them in the back immediately when they don't accept him.
Yeah, like time and time again throughout the episode, like he's a dick to Roman. He's a dick to like basically everyone around him.
Well, yeah, okay. And oh God, the Roman thing is so juicy.
It
kind of felt jokey at first, talking about Roman's fetishes and his kinks. Mm-hmm. And now it is becoming just like a very big part of his character in the show and his backstory. Basically, this starts all the way back when they're walking into the club through the tunnel.
Yeah.
And he says something like, Kendall's like proud of him. He's like, I don't want to be carried around in my dad's pockets anymore. And he's like, oh, they're spacious pockets or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he says the line, can't keep a good dog down, right, Ken? And Kendall kind of looks at him and I'm like, I forget why he looks like, why is that an important moment? And then it is revealed Kendall used to lock Roman in a cage, and leash him up like a dog and have him eat chow.
Who among us has not?
Just every sibling did this at one point, right? We all did this as kids.
Listen, okay, not saying that I did that, but one time for Halloween, I dressed up as a cat, and I, like, fully believed I was a cat that night. And I still have a picture of, like, all my brothers were, like, you know, baseball outfits, and they're, like, posing, and I'm, like, on all fours as a cat. Because I fully believed I was cat.
You were cat.
I was cat. Who among us?
Serving cat.
Giving cat.
Can I let you know on the opposite side of the spectrum,
I'm
as
begging.
A kid, I used to get really into just inventing new characters for costumes. Aww. So I wore a suit and a dog masks and I called myself Dog Man. I wasn't a dog. I wasn't a business. I was just a dog man. I had to share that.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
That's so cute. cute.
It was pretty funny. I'm
not speaking
gonna
lie. Of Dogman.
Dogman. Oh yeah.
Roman Roy.
So much dog talk this episode.
Even Shiv has a throwaway dog line.
Yeah, where she tells Nate to sit on the side of the bed like a, or at the end of the bed like a dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they look at people as dogs in this show. That's how they establish their power.
But as it goes, I want to pick your brain on this throughout the episode. So Roman reveals it as Ken used to lock me in a cage and feed me dog food.
Yes.
Kendall, I think his first response is like, no, I didn't. And then it's like, well, he did. Roman approaches Connor and is like, Kendall doesn't remember this. And Connor's like, oh, I do. You loved it.
Yeah.
And Roman's like, I'm sorry, what now?
You asked to be put in the cage or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then Roman was like, no, my backstory is that like Kendall locked me in a cage and then I started wetting the bed and then Dad sent me to military school. Mm-hmm. And Connor's like, no, you asked for all those things. By the way, he's rolling on Molly.
He's telling people he loves them and it's making people uncomfortable is what we hear.
Yeah, he's like, no, man, you fucking loved it.
Yeah, you asked to be sent to military school.
Mm-hmm. Which is just... interesting.
Yeah. I also want to add that when Kendall confronts him about it, he doesn't deny it fully. He just goes, it wasn't dog food. And which is like, oh, so it did. There was a cage.
There was a cage. Roman was
he's
in
like,
it.
I'm pretty sure it was chocolate cake.
I feel like Roman literally grew up to be dog man.
That's why I empathize with Roman so deeply. I'm like, I was also the dog guy. But yeah, it's, That's such an interesting thing because later when I think it was Kendall's talking to Connor, mm-hmm. Connor brings up something that Logan said that was like, when you have two dogs fighting, you send the weaker one away to establish the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's so much, it's such a messy web right now because I'm like, so Logan sends him away to step, but like Roman wanted to be sent away.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get your take on all of this because.
Well, that I don't know really what happened as kids. Like, yes. Nobody's story is really the story. Mm-hmm. All I know is that in that moment, Kendall took that as, well, Dad sent me away from Waystar Royko.
Yeah.
And so he thinks I'm the weak one. Fuck it. I'm going to do a fucking hostile takeover.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we'll talk about that next episode. But, like, that's how Kendall ends the episode, is, like, planning a hostile takeover.
Yes.
So I know that that line's potence, shall we say, doesn't necessarily have to do with their childhood. It's like, well, if Roman used to be the weak one and now I'm being perceived as the weak one, girly.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do a business right now so hard.
And let me just say, I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but near the end when Roman and Kendall are coming down in the elevator, which is very cage-like, there's like a stare down and then he bumps him on his way out and I'm just like, what a great shot. What a great moment. I mean, there's not much. It feels very self-explanatory, but I'm just like, what a sick way of bringing back the dog cage thing in a literal cage.
Oh, so good. That fucking old-timey-ass elevator.
Mm-hmm.
God, those things are scary.
This is why I thought it should have been called Cage or something.
It would have been a solid title for the episode.
Should have called the title Cage.
Want to talk about Shiv, and then we should talk about Tom and Greg.
Yeah.
Because Shiv's doing her own thing. If I'm being honest, Shiv's storyline this episode did not enchant me.
Okay. There's one Shiv scene that I thought was pretty interesting, but...
Tell me about it.
Well, the Shiv and Nathaniel, Nate... I keep calling him Nathaniel. Just call him Nate. Just call him Nate. That stuff is all whatever. It basically feels like it's starting to get real for Shiv, and it's making her a bit uncomfortable.
Mm.
What I think was interesting was her dinner scene with Logan.
That was a great scene, yeah.
It starts off him being like kind of concerned about the wedding and this ATN stuff getting in the way.
What's the context for the dinner?
Why do they get dinner again? They get dinner because of Evis and his ATN appearance.
Yes, Bernie Sanders is busy trying to spread the word that Logan Roy's terrible, and ATN on this interview with him is like, your wife died. Aren't you concerned about your mental health? Like, asking him all these inappropriate personal questions he didn't sign on to answer.
Yeah.
Then he gets mad and he retorts like, well, you know, I want to talk about Logan Roy. His fucking daughter works for me. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So Shiv and Logan have a meeting to sort of discuss their players in the situation.
Yes. And Logan is kind of like, I don't want to let this ATN bullshit get in the way of your wedding.
Interesting that you read it like that.
Well, no. That's not how I read it.
Oh, okay.
He says it a few times. He's just like, I don't want... He seems to really focus on the fact that family comes first. And he's like, they crossed the line because they brought family into this.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bernie Sanders did. And he's like, he keeps family out of the mouth. I don't want this getting in the way of the wedding. And I'm like, okay, Logan Roy really comes across like he cares about his family. And then he says some line that's like, I hear things, or like, I hear around, or something like that. Which I read as, I think he knows about the affair with Nate.
I had a completely different fucking reading of this whole scene.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, I forgot the scene happened this episode. I totally thought it was the next episode. But second of all, I read the whole scene. Because Logan starts off with an offer like, just stop this Bernie Sanders bullshit. Yeah, just come work for Waystar Ryko. Yep. And she's like, no. Mm-hmm. I read it as, he said, well, I don't know why we're talking about work. You should focus on the wedding. That's mm-hmm. all you're good for. Yeah. That sort of thing. Like, he's trying to make her mad
yeah.
by saying, like, well, your work is not important, and I don't really care about your business.
Yeah.
Just focus on the wedding, because you're a pretty girl who should just be getting married to mm-hmm. a guy.
Yeah.
And that's not something he believes. I know he doesn't believe that, mm-hmm. but I feel like he said that to make her mad.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't know, fuck you. This dinner did not go very
right,
well.
Right,
right. I don't really know what he meant by I have an ear on the ground. I think it just sort of meant like, I can destroy you because I have access to all the news and journalists right. and everything.
Well, that's how I read it, is that he was so like insistent on this not getting in the way of the wedding. He doesn't want anything getting in the way of the wedding. And by saying like, I kind of know what's going on, I feel like he's saying you don't want this affair to get in the way of the wedding.
Oh.
And like, if you keep messing around with Bernie Sanders, I know what you're up to, and I could take you down.
Yeah, my
in the same way.
Again, which is different than yours, is that nobody fucking cares about this wedding. Like, literally,
no,
nobody.
No one cares about the wedding. yeah.
And so when Logan was bringing up, I thought he was trying to be patronizing to Shiv, of like, you should just focus on this wedding.
That's
you know?
Valid. That's valid.
That's what I thought.
I just took away that scene as like, I feel like she's roped into this thing with Tom, because
yeah.
if she were to get out of it with Tom, Logan kind of knows why and could use that against her.
Mm.
And she kind of stays with Tom to basically save herself from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that very valid way of reading that scene. It's such a good scene.
It's
is
such
the
a
thing.
Great scene.
It's perfectly ambiguous.
Yes.
Because it's just, you leave it feeling gross. Mm-hmm.
Which Who among us has not had a dinner with a family relative and been like, oh.
Yeah. Speaking of gross, let's talk about...
It's time to talk about
Tom's wild night.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad we can talk about the splooge.
Oh, God.
As he
the
calls
splooge.
It.
God. Okay, so, what is... I wanted to ask you, because Cookie and I were talking about it. When he approaches Tabitha,
yeah.
He's like, can I get a smint? What is that?
I just assumed it was a mint.
I thought it was a mint too, and then Cookie was like, is that a condom? And I was like, no.
Why would he be using a condom if, first of all,
right.
he winds up not using one because he gets a splooge back in his own mouth.
He gets a splooge back in the mouth, yeah.
No, I believe it has to do with his own breath. I think he was concerned about his breath before going
yeah.
to hook up with somebody.
Yep.
So this whole episode.
And an orgy being like, can I get a mint? Like, that's such a funny thing to say. Yeah.
That's me at the orgy.
Just focusing on the priority.
Does anybody have Dove deodorant?
Right, right.
But yeah, Tom, this episode, major L, because, right, he thinks he's going to Prague with the Fly Guys, Jonas
yeah,
and Matt.
Yeah, the Fly Guys. But the Fly Guys. Yeah.
And Roman has changed his entire bachelor party, instead of going to Prague, to go to this dirty club that's near public transit and rats.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Which, I guess none of them are ever around public transit or rats, because yep. they all look very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Connor being like, what? Update on the footwear situation, guys. This is...
I have my flight socks and TSA slippers. Yeah. Can I change? It's so good. So anyways, yeah, they wind up in this dirty, seedy club that Stewie convinces Roman is number one cool and number two Stewie is at. Or
yes.
Sandy. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Tom Wamsgans is brought to this club to celebrate his bachelor party. He's unclear with Shiv what the rules are,
yes.
Vis-a-vis him getting to hook up with somebody.
Calls her like three different times in the episode. And he's, can I just do my Wamsgans briefly?
I'm begging
It's
you.
One of my favorite lines where he's like, oh, honey badger, Shiv, and like asking for permission.
He's like, I want to dock inside of you right now.
It might get disgusting in there or something like that.
Yeah, and then he spends the whole episode just kind of, like, it's similar to the dinner scene that he had with Greg a few episodes ago where he's trying to teach him how to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's
yeah.
trying to be, like, hedonistic and engage in debauchery, but
right.
it's just, like, Tom being weird because he's
yep.
just, like, a sweet guy from Minnesota who wants to go to Prague. So, the most famous part of this entire show, dare I say.
Basically, yeah.
Tom goes and hooks up with Tabitha, mm-hmm. and I guess she sucks his dick, and he comes, and then she's like,
they puts kiss, it, and then yeah. she spits it back into his mouth,
and then he swallows,
and he swallows his own load.
So it's not like cheating because it's a closed loop.
It's a closed loop. Which that's so such a great way of summarizing Tom as a character. I feel like everything he does, it just kind of ends up back with himself. Like, whoa. It's kind of all for him at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, he's swallowing his own load.
At the end of the day, every episode, he's swallowing his own load.
One time when I was in high school, a religion teacher of mine, like, apropos of nothing, leaned back in her chair and sighed and went, 100 million sperm and a healthy ejaculation. God's great gift is so beautiful.
Now I think of it. When we were talking about this and you were like, one time in middle school or whatever, uh-huh. and I,
oh, you were about to think that I swallowed my own load?
No, yeah, I was like, where is this going? Like, during this scene?
Well, that's what I think about every time I think about sperm. I think 100 million sperm and a healthy ejaculation. Isn't God's gift?
Say what you will about Tom, healthy ejaculation.
No, I've never looked up if that number is correct, so I'm sorry if I'm spreading misinformation on the podcast.
I'll be honest, I don't even know if that number is correct.
It seems like a lot and yet nothing.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Apparently there's only like a teaspoon of it. This I did Google recently because of a group chat. It's not a lot.
Yeah. Tom has a really... The way Tom describes coke in this episode, when Greg is snorting the lines and he's like sucking off those four big white dicks. Greg,
you pervert.
Yeah, I was
and
like...
And Greg's like, I'm doing cocaine. Like,
yeah, that's like one of the most insane descriptions of coke I've ever heard. I was like... I can't believe you just said that.
And you're doing coke a lot.
And
famously.
I'm doing coke every day. It's a joke. I'm kidding.
He's kidding. He's doing ketamine.
Yeah.
Which, does Kendall ever get ketamine during this episode?
He doesn't.
That is so sad.
I know.
I'm going to cry.
It's so funny when Greg is like, I thought maybe we could do one wine, one water type of thing for the group. So sad.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. It's...
And then... Sorry, continue.
No.
My favorite
go.
Shot at the end is when it's like after Kendall and Roman get out of the elevator.
Yep.
And then it's like Roman, Connor, Greg, and Tom. And then Kendall is standing like a little bit far away from them. He's standing like so steadfast and so straight.
Yep.
Oh, and the rest
it
of them are all like.
One of my favorite shots in the whole show.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Especially because the shot right before that, it starts with like, I think it's like Connor's on the phone with Will and he's like, I just want to tell you how much I love you. And Greg is like just standing there. I forget what Greg is doing, but Tom is like, I swallowed my own load.
Mm-hmm. Greg is just cold. He clearly did not pack the right
Greg
jacket.
Greg just wanted to go home like 5 hours ago. Kendall shows up and then Roman's like little body like fits into like some corner of the shot and it's just like, hey Tom, I heard you swallowed your own load.
Yeah, because Tom, Greg, and Connor are fucking massive.
Yeah, yeah. Roman's so small. And they all have these giant coats on with like the skinny jeans underneath.
Yes. Ugh,
it's
so
just
good.
An amazing it's shot. Beautiful. I'm like, you just have to see it to believe it.
Chills.
I guess that's kind of
regarding winners and losers.
Oh my God, yeah. Who did I put? Oh my God, I didn't even put anybody for this one.
You didn't put any winners or losers?
It's just such a dense episode. I'm like, I don't know if Tom won or lost. He ends up in the middle. I mean...
I don't know if he like lost, but he definitely didn't get the bachelor party of his dreams. And he's such like a romantic. He really wanted like a nice weekend with his boys.
You know who I think won, briefly speaking, just in this episode, is probably Roman.
Mm.
I would say, even though it kind of ends on a note where Sandy's like, we'll jerk him off a little bit.
Yeah,
and
at
then,
least in his mind he won, you know? Because he thinks he's entertaining an offer with Sandy.
I would say Kendall maybe won a bit more than Roman. By the end of the episode, he kind of seems like he has a... No, he absolutely wins at the end of the episode because it ends with that shot of him walking. It's so cheesy. He walks into the boardroom with Sandy. He's like, gentlemen, shall we? And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
But I love it.
It's like, he's kind of ends on a high note.
He sees himself a business cowboy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He has a plan, I guess. Yeah. He's back on top. Fuck the art girls.
It's hard for me to consider this a Kendall W because like of the art girls thing, like his psyche was so hurt so many times throughout the episode, even if he doesn't show it, obviously. I feel like Stewie and Sandy won the episode.
Yeah, true.
They're just
definitely won.
On top and even more on top with this new plan with Kendall, you know?
Yeah.
Regarding losers, I honestly think Tom's the loser.
Tom may have lost this episode. He swallowed his own load at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, who else swallowed their own load at their bachelor party? Oh,
there's this... Okay, another scene we didn't talk about is when he does come home after Shiv's crazy night with Nate. And she's like, what happened? And he's like, oh, you know. And she's like, no, what happened, Tom? And she kind of like scares him to think like, I didn't agree to this. And then mm-hmm. she's like, I'm just shitting you. And it kind of like sets it up in his head that like she would never allow cheating or like it's not a game for her.
It's a really fun parallel in the episode where he just has like one minor sexual encounter and she has like a very emotionally intimate encounter with somebody with whom she's cheating.
Yeah.
It's like a fun, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know if Shiv lost this episode. As much as I wanted to say she did, she's not full. She didn't lose as much as Tom. You're right.
No, yeah. Tom did not get the things he wanted at all this episode. Also, Greg had a pretty hard
time. I was going to say Greg left the party in the worst, like, with nothing. He didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. His heart is just, like, beating out of its chest, I assume. He's freezing. It's 5 a.m. He wants a car so badly.
Yeah. Okay, another thing is looping back to Kendall's cognitive dissonance that you were saying. Yeah. Like, I feel like he works better when he's on coke. Like, he kind of, to an extent, I guess, like, is, I was going to have this galaxy brain moment where I was like, he's better when he's on cocaine at making deals and calling shots. And that's why Logan wants him to not do cocaine. Not because he actually cares about him, but because he knows, but that's fully not what's happening here.
That's convoluted, my friend. That is
very convoluted. I take it back. I'm cutting it. So yeah, Tom loser. Kendall win? No, Sandy and Stewie win.
I'm calling Sandy and Stewie the two-headed horse or whatever with a tiny dick.
I'm still going to say in his mind, and if we're containing it to just this episode, I'm going to say Kendall won.
That's fair.
I feel like he got the most out of that party out of everybody.
That's fair.
Established the hierarchy, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's Prague. It's the best episode, to be honest. It's so good.
Some evenings are rough.
I. on that note, you have anything to plug?
Oh, fuck. I have a business podcast, Busted Business Bureau.
Busted Business Bureau. I have a YouTube channel, Carson Rundquist.
Shit, that's slay.
Shit, check it out. Yeah, thanks for listening. And as always,
suck off.